Man, I love talking about high school hoops lore in the great state of Illinois. Let's get in the time machine and head back to the early and mid-1970s. There was a kid by the name of the Blonde Bomber that played down at Lawrenceville High School, Jay Scheidler, and he has a new book out called The Blonde Bomber, The Ride with Scheid. Good to have you with us, Jay Scheidler. That seems like yesterday for you, I assume. Some vivid and fond memories, right?
Well, it absolutely does, especially since going back through all the information and things that I had to recall doing this book. So, but yeah, I mean, it was a great time, Jim, and I appreciate you having me on, and look forward to speaking to you about it and everything, and let's talk some basketball.
That's right, man. So give me the vibe back then. I know, you know, when we get older, you know, I'm a child of the 70s and 80s, and we long for some of those days. Now, I know you live, I think, still in Kentucky. The state basketball tournament has moved back to Champaign. There were good crowds this past weekend for the four-class system, but not to the extent of what it was back in the 1970s. Why do you think that is?
You know, Jim, that's a good question. I really don't know. It just seems like back then there was, especially in the southern part of the state, it seemed like so much more interest. Of course, they had just, you know, gone to the two-class system in 1972, which helped tremendously, I'm sure. But it was just, I don't know, it was a different vibe. The communities got involved and Lawrenceville was just, it was just crazed about all their athletic teams and especially the basketball team. And I don't know, man, it was just a special time for those days. Just seemed like people had a lot more interest, had a lot more connection to the schools and the communities at that time.
Yeah. And I will argue, we'll get into the meat of the book here momentarily again with Jay Scheidler. I would argue one of the issues today now is youth sports have become so big that, you know, back in the 70s and 80s, kids that were in 5th and 6th and 7th and 8th grade, they didn't have a lot going on, and there wasn't, you know, crazy amount of youth sports going on, so those type of kids could go to the games. Today, you know, there's all these youth tournaments that basically coincide with state tournament weekend. And I think, too, the NCAA tournament and the conference college tournaments, you know, they've taken away from some of the luster of state high school basketball, not just in Illinois, but in other states. And then I think in Illinois, too, the other issue for me is we have the overlap of sports. So if you're a basketball kid, right? And your team is eliminated. Well, now, you know, the high school track season is already underway. The high school baseball season is underway. So a lot of those kids have practice and can't come to the state tournament. I think those are some of the reasons maybe why the attendance isn't like it was, I guess, long story short.
Yeah, and I'll go along with that. There seems to be so much more to do and to get involved with, kids, families, you know, that sort of thing. That, yeah, that's a very good point that probably does eat into it quite a bit.
All right. So have you been back to a state basketball tournament in Illinois? When's the last time you were back for a state basketball tournament?
76.
So yeah, it's been a while. It's been almost 50 years. We got to get the Blonde Bomber back to one of these state tournaments. So, I mean, give me one of your, you know, of course, playing at the Assembly Hall in Champaign. I mean, that's got to be, you know, one of the top memories as a high school player. Are there any other moments that kind of really stand out where you say, man, this is the essence of what I did from 73 to 76?
Well, you know, I mean, all of it being in the Lawrenceville program. I mean, it was a special place. And it wasn't just during that time. I mean, shoot, when I was growing up, I had an older brother that played and was a tremendous ball player. But I mean, I can remember going to the games, in the mid 60s, before my brother was in high school, and the teams were good, and the people just, it was just an awesome time to go to the games. I mean, the gyms were always packed, and you know, you wanted to be one of those guys. You know, they were our heroes. At least they were mine. You know, I looked up to those guys, and you wanted to follow in their footsteps. And it just seemed like the whole community felt the same way. But you know, the state tournament at Assembly Hall, and it's, it, you know, it was just an awesome experience, seeing it for the first time, the mushroom, you know, and going inside, and the place was normally packed all the time, and running out on the court for the first time. And it was just, you know, unless you experience it, you know, it's kind of hard to describe, but, just an awesome memories from both times being up there. And again, just playing for Lawrenceville and Coach Felling, you know, that was the big thing. He turned this community into something that, it was already good, but he just took it to another level, and the success that he had, and the connection that everybody had with him, incredible to this day. Go ahead.
Well, and I think the one great thing I hear you saying, and I don't think we get the feeling like you just explained about, well, here's what I want to do. I want to make the basketball team, right? I mean, you're talking about that in some of the role models you had growing up when you were an elementary school kid or a junior high kid, and said, I want to be that, or I want to follow in his footsteps. You know, I was a couple years ago, I had the honor of interviewing. It was the year Jack Sikma was inducted into the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And mind you, this is a guy that played in the NBA for, what, 10 or 15 years, had a stellar, unbelievable career at Illinois Wesleyan. And
absolutely.
And I said, well, what, you know, if you look back at your career, what was one of the big things that you really wanted to accomplish? And you know what he said? He said, I wanted to make the high school basketball team at St. Anne.
And this is a
guy who had this unbelievable NBA career. And he said, I wanted to make the high school basketball team when I was a junior high kid. And I just loved hearing that. And I think maybe, you know, Jay Schindler, the issue we're in now is it's not that big of a deal anymore because so many games are played at the youth level now, that the high school team maybe has lost some of its luster. I don't know, you know, and that's why I long for the 1970s when you played back then, right?
Yeah, you're right. AAU has had a lot to do with that. I totally agree with you. But that's how we felt. You know, we looked up to these guys, and I can remember how excited I was. I was just a freshman, and we were getting ready to go to Danville to play in our annual Thanksgiving thing with Schwarman and Bourbonus and Danville High. And I had no idea, you know, if I was going to, I wasn't even thinking about making the trip, you know, just being a freshman, but it was funny that the day before we were leaving for a couple of days, I had a really good practice, and it was just that day that coach was going to put the list up on, you know, who was going to go. And after practice, I went and looked at the list. My name was on it, and I was like, oh, my gosh, you know, really? Really? This is going to happen. Didn't play, you know, didn't play at all. But, you know, I was there, you know, and it was, you know, that was telling me, you know, shoot, man, this is going to be great. You know, you got a chance to be with these guys and start playing some ball, you know. So,
yeah, so I heard now, did you get to play at all your freshman year? On the varsity team, or you just dressed?
No, not really. I dressed, I think I dressed all but one game, played JV ball, of course. But no, I mean, for the whole year, my freshman year, I scored a total of 28 points. So no, I didn't play hardly any at all.
So that's why so many people tell me that kind of Coach Felling, his way was, hey, you're not going to play on the varsity if you're a freshman. I don't care how good you are. I think that changed when Marty Simmons, I think, came along. in the 1980s, but you're a dude that scored over, I think, 2,000 points. And I know the type of player you were, and the coach still said, hey, the rule is the rule. We ain't going to play you probably as a freshman. So it's interesting when you look back in the 70s, and that's kind of how it was.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And again, I mean, you know, we had guys that could play. So, you know, there was really no need to for me to be in there, you know, mop up duty, of course, you know, that sort of thing. But, you know, we had a nice team. So, you know, it was just I was just lucky to be a part of it. You know,
how much did you love it? I mean, to take me back to your youth and the love of the game. I mean, that's where it starts. Do you remember when you said, hey, I'm hooked? I'm hooked on this Lawrenceville basketball, man. I want to be on the high school team. We're gonna get on this run, and then eventually they're gonna have a nickname for me, and we're gonna have this great atmosphere. Do you remember when it really connected to you that you said, "Man, I love this game"?
There's no way that I could have thought that far ahead, But here, like it was in a lot of communities back then, small places. I mean, we played everything. So it wasn't just basketball. I mean, I played, even in high school, I played baseball, football, ran track, and played golf. So whichever season it was, that's what I was doing. But basketball and being from the family that I was from, with a reputation, my dad was a great player. My brother was a great player. So, it was kind of like, now it's my turn, So trying to live up to their reputation and their expectations and everybody else's expectations and stuff. But, I mean, depending on what season it was, that was my focus. But when it came right down to it, any future at all, as far as a scholarship or that sort of thing, lied in basketball. We didn't get that much publicity or action around in baseball, which a lot of people don't know, and a few people do, I've mentioned it, but baseball was actually my best sport. But again, we didn't really get play a lot, especially high school ball, rainouts in this area and stuff. Mm-hmm. So, but anyway, but when basketball came around, I mean, now that's my focus. And, just like I said, trying to live up to my brother and my dad and everything, and the expectations was on me. I wouldn't really want to say it was pressure, but I wasn't expected to do anything else. I'll put it that way.
Well, and you bring up brother. There's a lot of similarities with how Jack Sikma talked when he played, in his brothers and his cousins. And, one of his big things was, I want to eventually take down one of my cousins or beat my brother or whatever. So you have an older brother, and I can attest to this. There's a point in your life where you say, I want to get over the hump, and I'm going to beat him. And I can't wait for the day when I beat him, because he's going to provide me some life lessons, along the way when you have an older brother. Do you remember, like, maybe the first time where you got him? And you said, I did it, sure, man. I got him. Finally.
I sure do. We were working Coach Felling's camp at the high school. My brother I'm not sure if he was back in Vincent's here he was probably still down at Southern Illinois at that time. But anyway, he was a guest instructor. And towards the end of the camp, might have been the last day of camp, everybody kind of talked us into playing one-on-one, me and him. And so we played to five. And I beat him. And I'm not really sure if I ever, I know up to that point and probably up to today, I've never seen him so mad.
Amen. You know that. You tell him that story again, he'll get mad again, probably.
Right. Yeah. I know.
So tell me, what kind of motivated you to walk down memory lane and say, I want to do this book? Because I want to get a few observations from you about, a small school kid going to Kentucky to play. But what kind of you said, hey, I want to relive this thing and maybe write a book about it?
Yeah. I had thought about it for a number of years. Because after I quit playing, just being with friends or out or whatever, and tell them a little snippet of a story or try to explain this or that, you know, and almost to a man, they would say, dude, you got to write a book, you know, and I had thought about it, but I just didn't really know how to go about it. I tried to start it myself probably 20 years ago, and I'm not a writer. You know, I got about a page and a half done, and that was it. But an incident happened a couple of years ago, 2-3 years ago, and I won't go into much detail, cause it's in the book. But I had a couple of guys, a couple of former teammates, they came to me at one point. I was going through a tough time, and these guys showed up. And if I hadn't respected those two guys so much, we might not be talking about it today, but they both sat there and looked me in the eye and said, you have to write a book. People want to know your story. And that kind of was the motivation, the extra motivation that I needed to go ahead and start really thinking seriously about it. And things just fell into place. I happened to mention it to a friend of mine in Lexington, a former football player at UK, and mentioned it to him, and he in turn mentioned it to a mutual friend of ours, that I knew in college, but I hadn't seen him in 35, 40 years, that he just happened to be a writer. And Paul said, my co-author, Paul said, well, I've got to do it. He's got to let me write the book. So we got together and talked about a few things, and it just went on from there, and things just started to fall in place, and it's a good book, Jim. You know, it's my whole story, growing up, in the situation that, you know, I touched on with, you know, being from our family and just everything that I've gone through. You know, we didn't leave anything out. There's good, bad, and ugly in it, you know, but I wanted to tell the real story, you know.
Well, and that when you say that, that's what life is, good, bad, and ugly. I mean, that's why I'm looking forward to a reading it. There's no question about it. And I've always wanted to talk to you because I love high school hoops lore in Illinois. So I'm going to read the book. Now, I want to make sure you promise me something, because I'm sad to hear that you haven't been back to the state tournament since 1976.
Right.
So I want to get Jay Scheidler, the blonde bomber, back at the state tournament one of these years and celebrate your legacy and promote, and even we can promote the book. You need to be back, because I know, you know, when you get a nickname like the blonde bomber and that era of basketball, how important it was. Yeah. Jay Scheidler needs to be back in that assembly hall to celebrate the great game of Illinois high school basketball. Will you promise me that you're going to do that sometime?
Well, I love to. And as a matter of fact, you mentioned earlier that, you know, that I was in Lexington. Actually, I have moved back to Illinois, just about 20 miles north of Lawrenceville in Robinson, Illinois. So I'm back in my home area and everything. I've been here about 8 months now. I married a schoolmate, classmate of mine, that I hadn't seen in 45 years.
Oh, wow.
A great lady. And she was living in Robinson. We connected on Facebook, and one thing led to another, and here I am. So, but just in the last few days, I had been in contact with some people, and I had planned on trying to get there next year, to the state tournament, since it's back in Champaign and everything. And I'm working on that as we speak.
All right, good. And I was going to tell you one other thing too, that's great. So, and I'd like you to shed some light on it. So I was fortunate. I live in the western portion of the state. Okay. And I had an opportunity for 4 years. If you follow Big Ten basketball, we had a kid that played at a small school, Rock Ridge, by the name of Ethan Happ, and he went to Wisconsin and scored over 2,000 points, over 1,500 rebounds, had an unbelievable collegiate career. But a small school kid, a lot of people will always say, you're not going to make it at the next level, right? You're not, right. You can't do it. You're a good player, small school level, ain't going to play at the next level. Well, he proved him wrong. So Jay Scheidler, even though you played at a stellar small school program like Lawrenceville, I'm sure a lot of people said, wait a minute, dude, you ain't going to play at Kentucky. You're not going to get anything done. There's no way a kid from small town Lawrenceville can go to a program like that. And you said, I'm going to prove you wrong. So how did Jay Scheidler, a kid from small town Lawrenceville, how'd you break through, as they say, if you want to say the glass ceiling or whatever it is, to play at a program like Kentucky?
You know, I never really followed them at all, you know, being from here. It started a couple of years before I graduated high school, 2 or 3 years. I mean, I would watch games, at night, and they would, retelecast on a delayed basis, Kentucky games out of an Evansville station. And I wasn't watching it because it was Kentucky. I was just watching it because it was a game. But I kind of became familiar with them and wasn't thinking about going there. But all I knew was when I went to college, I wanted to play for a winner. You know, that's all I had done my entire life is, you know, play for winning teams and being successful teams and stuff like that. And I wanted to, you know, I wanted to continue that, obviously. And when they finally did show up and was recruiting me, you know, of course I was, you know, checked into them a little bit more and kind of got familiar with their personnel that was going to be there. And I just felt like that they were my best chance of winning a championship. And that's all I wanted to do was win a national championship. And, things just kind of fell into place and I fit in and was able to play a lot my first year and kind of, you know, things just kind of fell into place there. But I mean, it was an awesome experience. I didn't look at it as Kentucky, the winningest college basketball team in the history of the sport, but I just wanted to win, you know? And I just felt like that was going to be my best opportunity to do that. And as it turned out, that's, you know, I made a good decision.
Yeah. Amen. All right. So, you know, just getting back to kind of Illinois high school basketball, how much do you miss those days where, you know, if you had a road game, you know, people would follow the bus to your rival town, or if you had a game at home, you know, it was, you know, the barber shop was talking about it. The insurance agent was talking about it. The funeral parlor was talking about it. You walk down the street, how good Lawrenceville going to be this year? How good's the crosstown rival going to be? You know, those type of things. How much you miss that kind of stuff?
Oh, I miss it a lot. I think about it all the time, especially, you know, going back through, you know, trying to do this book and everything. But, you know, it was such a special time, Jim. I mean, everywhere we went, the gyms were full. You had to get there by halftime of the JV game or you weren't going to get in, you know, at home or on the road and just, you know, traveling the old school buses, you know, with your guys and stuff. I think about it almost every day, you know, how special it was and the things that we went through and the success we had, you know, and everything. It's everybody is definitely proud of that. And it's fun to think about those times and reminisce. And I do it all the time.
All right. So
probably too much.
No, but here's the thing too. And when you become older and your body breaks down and it doesn't move like it used to, right?
But you
drive by. So if you go through Lawrenceville, okay.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
But Jay Scheidler's driving through Lawrenceville. Okay. And you drive by, you know, maybe a court you used to play on.
Yeah.
I mean, don't you just think about that and say, man, I remember that and I can feel it and I can smell it and I miss it. So you know what I'm saying? I mean, I get that feeling when I drive by some places and I'm like, man, I wish my body could move like it was. And I still wish I was young and I still wish I could play this great game like I used to be able to play it.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. I mean, you know, when I was still living in Kentucky, I would come when the times that I would come back, of course, coming into town, you drove by the high school. You could see it. You could see it over on the hill and look over there and think about it, you know, and my parents lived in an area where I had to drive by two of the outside basketball courts where I spent a lot of time growing up. So yeah, it's hard not to think about it. And it's great. You know, I mean, you think about all the time you spent out there and you visualize being 10 years old out there, you know, shooting around and yeah, it's just, it was always an awesome feeling to come back to Lawrenceville and think of those things. And now that I'm back in the area, of course, you know, I think about it, you know, even more.
So did you play like then growing up? Was it like at a park court or was it like a backyard or a driveway? Where'd you play most of your stuff at on your own?
There was, oddly enough, we grew up, probably till I was about 10 or 11 years old, 12 years old. We had a hoop on our garage, but we never shot around at it because it didn't have a net on it or anything. I would always play with my brother for the most part. I would run with him. We'd go to most of the time I remember with him, we would go to the park or we would sneak into the high school. We'd climb through a window or something and go in there. Then there was a Catholic church right around the corner from where we lived at the time. And I spent a lot of time, it was only just around the block. And, then there was a grade school across the street from that I spent a lot of time on their courts.
That's great.
So
do you remember as we wind down here? Cause I love sharing memories. Like, you know, the basketball skill that you gain on your own. You know, where you work on your own and skill development back then was your own. You know, you didn't have a coach you went to, like an individual right. coach to work out. Like you said, if I want to work on my left hand, well, I got to go to the court and do it, or I got to go somewhere else. Right. I'm not going to, my mom or dad ain't going to hire a specialized coach for me to teach me to dribble with my left hand or take a jump shot. I mean, do you kind of remember like working on a specific skill set where, man, I got to get better at this in a game, whether I'm playing at a park or whether I'm playing on the Lawrenceville High School team. I just got to get better at doing this. I'm astute enough to know at that era, I need to do this on my own. I need to get better in this area. Do you ever remember anything specific that?
Oh, sure. Especially when I was by myself. Sure. Absolutely. You know, especially at the church court when I was 10, 11, 12 years old, you know. Just shooting around just constantly, you know, trying to work on moves, this and that, trying to work on whatever I could, you know, and visualizing in my head. But the big thing for me was, like I said, I played with my brother a lot and his friends. So they were all 5 or 6 years older than me. So I had to learn how to play real quick to keep up, and try to hold my own. I think that had a lot to do with developing skills and that sort of thing. Plus, given the fact that my brother was a good player, you know, and just learning from him, watching him, emulating him, you know, that sort of thing.
All right.
Was a tremendous help. Yeah.
All right. Blonde Bomber Ride with Scheid. Just do the Google search. You can find the book out the past couple of weeks. And if you love high school hoops in Illinois, this is a story worth reading about because, you know, the hoops lore in Illinois, you can't talk about it unless you talk about the great blonde bomber Jay Scheidler from Lawrenceville, Illinois. That was quite a run down there in the early to mid-1970s. Man, I've taken enough of your time, Jay Scheidler. Oh, no, I appreciate
I can talk with you all day. let me just say, if you go to the Google search, just type in blonde, all one word, lowercase, blondebomber25.com. That should take you to our website. and then it'll tell you how to order the book if you're so inclined.
All right. Well, hey, man, it's been great talking to you. And like I said, I want to see you down. I'm going to call it the Assembly Hall in Champaign. When I see you, I'm going to say, that's the Blonde Bomber. He's back in this house to tell the Lawrenceville story of the 1970s. Man, great observations. I love the stories. I love your story about telling us when you beat your brother for this for first time. I love that. And one other thing before I let you go. So my role with the Illinois Farm Bureau, this is great. And I told you this off the air, and this is where, you know, I tell people a lot here, Jay, that high school sports in small towns is about, I say it's about community, right? I mean, it's about community.
Sure.
You know, so we relate when the local team, I don't care what it is. It can be the Scholastic Bowl team. It can be whatever team, the livestock judging team, basketball team, football team, whatever, girls softball team.
Right.
It means something. It's synonymous with community, right? And absolutely. So I was at an Illinois Farm Bureau annual meeting up in Chicago back in December. And there's the Illinois Farm Bureau retiring board member by the name of Dennis Green. He was from Lawrenceville. Yeah. And I said, well, man, I remember basketball back in the 1970s. So that one line, and 45 minutes later, I walk away from that conversation, and it was just awesome. Because the connection of like that, I think, is so great. So anyway, I appreciate your time, Jay Scheidler. Great name. And again, what was the website again for people to get the books? Repeat that website again. I want to make sure people can go to it and order the book.
Yeah, it's pretty simple. It's just blondebomber25.com.
All right. Jay Scheidler, the Blonde Bomber, thanks for joining us today. Greatly appreciate it.
Jim, thank you so much, man. Good talking with you. And if I don't see you before then, I will see you in Champaign next year.
All right. Awesome to visit with the Jay Scheidler.